You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. First off, we want to let you know that I am hosting the show live, but remotely, from my home office. We will continue to do that because here at Idaho Matters, we are doing our very best to do what we're asking all of you to do, which is to social distance during our state's outbreak of coronavirus. So we just want to be completely transparent and let you know that the show is being broadcast from our studios in Boise. Our producers, they are mostly working from home. I am working exclusively from home. So we are also no longer having guests come into our studio. Normally we do that. People will be on the phone with us live. They will be using Skype live. We'll be using Zoom live. It is important to us to make sure that we do our part to flatten the curve and to also make sure that we are still bringing you the service that matters and giving you the news and information that matters. This is the very first time that we've used this technology, so bear with us because we might have some technical glitches here and there, but we are going to do our best to continue bringing you the news and information that you need. And I have to say, like a lot of you, my kids are home with me. They are out of school right now. My son had his first live learning session with school today. So if you hear children bursting into the doors, that would be my kids. But I'm sure we're all maybe feeling that same type of anxiety with our kids at home right now, right? I also want you to know that as COVID-19 cases spread through the United States and Idaho, we are committed to keeping you updated and informed. Right now, we know that as of 11:30 this morning, there were 11 confirmed cases here in Idaho. You can get updated information on those cases, on closures, as well as how to stay healthy at any time when it comes to what's going on with our coronavirus blog. Just go to BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. to learn more about that. And now we are joined by Boise State Public Radio reporters Troy Oppie and Rachel Cohen. They're going to give us the very latest on the hard-hit service industries here in our state as restaurants and bars are closing and others are trying to stay open for dine-in or takeout service. It is likely that some of these businesses will end up going out of business. And we'll learn from Rachel and Troy about how different cities and their businesses are dealing with that and what looks to potentially be a long economic downturn. I want to thank both of you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Dan.
So Rachel, let's start with you because Ketchum was one of the first places in the entire state to tell restaurants and non-essential businesses to shut down. What was the reaction from the community and frankly from the restaurant owners?
Yes. So that came on Monday. That's when the mayor recommended that businesses and restaurants shut down or just do takeout. And it came after a busy weekend on Saturday. The first case was announced in Blaine County on Sunday. The resort closed. So a lot of community members saw that weekend as kind of a turning point in the Valley. And a lot of businesses and restaurants I talked to made the decision to close over the weekend. So before that announcement and recommendation even came. And then the reaction that businesses have been getting from the community has been positive. I talked to a coffee shop owner that's shutting down and he said he was really, it really touched him when community members thanked him for taking the safety of the community to heart.
So a lot of restaurants in Ketchum though, Rachel, right, are still trying to stay open in some capacity. So what are they doing differently right now?
Yes, a lot of restaurants are starting to do takeout only or delivery. I talked to one cafe in Haley that's doing takeout and they're doing, you know, delivering food to cars. And they also started a dinner delivery service and they didn't even make dinner before that. So, you know, businesses are really getting creative with how they can meet their customers and still deliver services despite the situation.
Rachel, how long do they think this can go on for? I mean, can a lot of these restaurants, at least in Sun Valley, make it? I mean, and I ask that because they're used to kind of ebbs and flow in seasonal business.
Yeah, it really depends, just like everything else going on. I think it's day by day. For a lot of businesses that shut down, they said they're going to reevaluate in 1 to 2 weeks. But as we've seen for, you know, based on the CDC recommendations and other cancellations that are seeming, you know, farther and farther out, it's hard to imagine that in 1 to 2 weeks things will be much different. And then for businesses that have shifted their services, it really will depend on if they continue to get customers, if they continue to get people ordering takeout, if their supply chain stay intact, and if they can keep getting their employees to come to work. You know, there are just a lot of factors.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Boise State Public Radio reporters Rachel Cohen and Troy Oppie about the hard-hit Idaho service industry when it comes to the coronavirus. Troy, I want to bring you into the conversation. As Rachel mentioned, Sun Valley is ahead of where Boise is right now in terms of mandated shutdown of dine-in service at this point. But what's happening in Boise?
Well, there are a couple things happening in Boise, and the first is there are some bars and restaurants that are going to have to close because they are starting to run low on cash and they simply cannot keep operating at all. There is a letter going around, a collective letter co-signed by nearly 100 members of the restaurant community across the state, but primarily in Boise, written directly to the governor asking him to take action. First of all, asking him to shut down dine-in service, and then for another of other considerations that would do things like deferring taxes, payroll taxes, business taxes, those types of things, and injecting an immediate relief program for employees of these places, which are largely hourly employees, likely don't have benefits, and are going to be really hurting really quickly as this comes to a head, either with or without a mandated shutdown. You're starting to see businesses close up shop anyway for a variety of different reasons. Bitter Creek, Red Feather, their last dine-in business was last night. They're doing some takeout only. Everything else is closed. Bardinet has closed all its locations, as was reported a day or two ago. The Ram has closed. That's a corporate decision. They are a multi-state entity with two locations here in the Valley, and you're starting to see these kind of trickle out for a variety of different reasons already.
And Troy, what are some of the owners hoping to really accomplish with this? I mean, is it putting pressure, you know, on the governor to make some, you know, more, you know, draw a line in the sand more basically? And I want to note too that these are restaurant owners from all over the state, correct? It's not just the Treasure Valley who have signed on to this letter.
That is correct. It's about two-thirds of those, maybe up to 75%. I haven't run the exact numbers. It is being spearheaded by restaurateurs in the Treasure Valley, certainly. And I got some frustration from the people that I talked to around town yesterday that they don't really feel heard by the governor. They are talking to local leaders, the mayor's office, but there has not been a lot of or any communication between that industry and the governor's office. To that end, I have reached out to the governor's office and asked them, you know, has he read the letter? What are the plans? And as of yet today, they have not responded to my inquiry.
Well, because we should know, there are other states, other governors who have taken those steps. And some of them are, I mean, you know, there are neighbors. I mean, Washington State has taken certain steps now. So has Oregon. And one of those is also implementing unemployment a lot quicker. So is that part of what some of these businesses are wanting the governor to do as well?
Yeah, that is absolutely on the list because many of them, when they close, they simply cannot or will not be able to continue to pay their employees. There are exceptions to that. Some businesses can sustain, but the vast majority say there's not a whole lot they can do. They simply don't have the cash to sustain that and, you know, maybe can go another couple of weeks before they start to run into even bigger issues of being able to pay rent for their businesses or, you know, their personal homes. That is a big concern among the service industry folks right now, both owners and employees as well. And I did reach out to the State Labor Board and asked, you know, have you seen a bump in unemployment filings? Because that news is starting to trickle out from other states now as well. In Idaho, they don't report those except for once a week. And that number is reported It's gathered and then released on Thursday. So, for instance, numbers released by the Department of Labor for unemployment today would be for a week ago. So it's a bit delayed. We don't have a good idea of what those numbers in state are yet. In other states, you've seen a 33% jump from last week to this week. And things are just getting started, and that number is expected to increase exponentially.
Well, and we should note there are also other states who have implemented things like going back to Washington State as an example. Just yesterday, Governor Inslee put a moratorium on being able to evict anyone for 30 right. days from their properties. So question though, Troy, is anybody bucking the trend? I mean, are there certain businesses that are like, you know what, we're going to stay open no matter what?
Yeah, there are. The business owners that have written this letter are asking to be shut down. There are others that I talk to who want to stay open, who don't want to be mandated to close. And they're doing things like taking extra precautionary steps for cleanliness. They're already small, so they can get by. They have individual tables. They can isolate tables in their restaurants and bars to stay under that 10-person social distancing guideline, one of which is Bear Island Brewery. And I spoke to owner Beth Bechtel yesterday, and she says her experience as a Navy explosive ordnance type person, they don't just deal with explosives, but they dealt with pathogen threats and those types of things. And her experience there, she said they take far above standard steps for cleanliness anyway, and they are staying open. In fact, they're really trying to find some measure of joy in all this.
Joy is where you dig deep and look for all the good. And honestly, if you're looking right now, yeah, there's a lot of people hoarding toilet paper and being jerks in the grocery store. But if you look, there's people stopping everything to help their neighbor. There are people stopping to go buy a beer at a local business to support them so we can pay our employees. So there's actually a lot of more joy right now that is evident if you look for it.
That might be an overly optimistic opinion to some, but she is not the only one who expressed a similar sentiment to me.
I want to thank both of you for the reporting you've been doing on this. I think it's important that we are continuing to talk about how this is affecting our local community. We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporters, Rachel Cohen and Troy Oppy. For more on their coverage of COVID-19, just go to our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thanks again, guys.
You bet.
Thank you.
And up next, as Troy mentioned right now about finding the joy, well, we are going to be looking at resiliency planning in communities, especially in this time of flux. I'm Demi Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters.